This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, the rookie quarterbacks, Act 2, biggest takeaways from preseason Week 2. I'll tell you what, Trey Lance, the most impressive thing about Trey Lance's performance was that unlike Week 1, where he started out hot and cooled off and looked a little, his experience was exposed, or inexperienced was exposed. Here in Week 2, he got better and better. Wound up in 30 snaps, 8 for 14 with 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception, which is more action than Jimmy G saw. Kyle Shanahan was asked, of course, about his Week 1 starter. Here it is.
Are you going to make an announcement? Is Jimmy Garoppolo your starter Week 1?
No, I'm not making that announcement. Nice try, though. Whenever I feel like it.
Not tonight.
Look, Trey Lance, to take the job from Jimmy G, is going to have to, the question usually is, does this guy give you the best chance to win? I don't think Trey Lance gives San Francisco their best chance to win a Super Bowl this season. Because no rookie starter in the history of the NFL has ever taken a team even to a Super Bowl, let alone won one. We already know Jimmy G is capable of playing in a Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers, winning enough games to get there, and then playing well enough to win. Now, he played just well enough to lose, or poorly enough to lose, because Shanahan schemed Emmanuel Sanders open, wide open, as Shanahan is apt or want to do, and Jimmy G missed him. Just missed him. But who says he's going to miss him again? You think that's a 50-50 proposition for Jimmy G? You think he's that bad down the field? Fine. Well, he missed once. He'll hit him the next time. You have a chance to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Trey Lance is there because Garoppolo's injury prone. You can't trust him to stay healthy, right? And I get it. And Trey Lance can do things with his legs and his arm that Jimmy G can't do. But that's asking a lot of a rookie to do it all on the fly. I think if Jimmy G gets hurt, obviously Trey Lance takes the ball. I would not choose Trey Lance to quarterback the team this year, even if I thought he made the team better. He did not have a lot of starts at college. He is the prospect in this draft, perhaps with the most upside. People rave about every part of his, the ceiling of every part of his game, including his leadership, and that's always on display. I love the way Trey Lance carries himself, the way he interacts with the media, the things he says. Like, there's some dudes, you know, a friend of mine mentioned this about, he mentioned it about Cam Newton, he mentioned it about A-Rod and a couple others. At times, they seem so uncomfortable in their skin, in their own skin, that when you watch them and listen to them talk, you get uncomfortable in yours. Like, oh, he doesn't really mean that. Oh, that's awkward. There are other guys like Andrew Luck, who, when he talks, he never steps in it. You know why? He drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago. He believes all those cliches. And he don't have to think about it too hard because he believes it. So just ask him a question. Here it is. This is what I really think. Trey Lance, one of those dudes. he's one of those guys. He was so inculcated with, like, NFL values that ask him any question, he spits out the answer. Goes, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want my quarterback to sound like. And he has all the physical tools. And by the way, the processor, everyone's raving about how quickly he processes information, but he's very, very green. And were Jimmy Garoppolo, say, Andy Dalton, I would say, yeah, Trey Lance, because this team is too good. They can win now. Give it to Trey Lance. But he's not Andy Dalton. He's better than that. Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who wins 3 out of every 4 games he starts for a team that loses 3 out of every 4 games he doesn't start. He has real quarterback value. Now, Justin Fields, on the other hand, also looked very impressive so far this summer. Now, game 2 wasn't as impressive as game 1. 9 of 19, 80 yards. He rushed for 46 on 4 carries. Bears lost to the Bills. Mitch Trubisky played very well. But Justin Fields has looked like a star. And by the way, he almost got killed behind that offensive line. I don't think the Bears are ready to compete for a Super Bowl. See, here, I would say if they were ready, if they had the offensive line, I'd say even though I want to develop Fields, he's better than Andy Dalton right now, he gives you your best chance, start him. But I am not putting a potential star behind that Bears offensive line. I know he combines the best of Foles and Trubisky in the sense that if you have a pocket, Foles can step into it, deliver the ball down the field. And if you don't have a pocket, well, Trubisky can outrun the linebackers. Fields can do both. I know he's better suited to win games right now than Andy Dalton. At least I believe that. I think most people do. And though there is the chance that you can, you know, the locker room can fray if they're like, well, he gives us a better chance than Andy Dalton. I am using Andy Dalton as a tackling dummy. Sorry, Andy. He was a good quarterback for a number of years. He's a serviceable quarterback now. I am not getting Justin Fields killed behind that offensive line. When I give the ball to Justin Fields, I want to know I don't have to take it back for 15 years. And I want to keep him okay. So for different reasons than with Garoppolo and Trey Lance, I'm not starting Justin Fields. It may not matter, though, because this dude displays everything you want from a... Here's Justin Fields talking about fans chanting for him. Listen to him take care of Andy Dalton.
I noticed it. Of course, you know, the fans are awesome getting me out there, but they also have to realize, you know, Andy's a human being, too. Andy's out there on the field right now. So I really just think it's kind of disrespectful to Andy, you know, them cheering my name out like that. And, you know, they have to, you know, trust in coach to, you know, make sure he's making the right decisions and, you know, just cheer Andy on. Like, that's not helping Andy play better than cheering my name. That's not doing none of that. So, you know, I would say, you know, my advice to them would be just cheer for who's out there playing on the field.
Now, Zach Wilson was the most impressive rookie quarterback in week two. 154.7 passer rating, 9 of 11, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Packers. He was really good. And in a way, the Jets were lucky to draft second in the sense that you can't pass on Trevor Lawrence. But Zach Wilson, like, who knows who's going to be the best of these guys? He's looked great so far. Look, Dak Prescott is a guy who I constantly hear people talk about is the quarterback under the most pressure this year. I don't think that is accurate at all. I wouldn't put him in the top 5 or 10. Matt Stafford, if he loses a playoff game, could you imagine? His whole legacy shot. It wasn't Detroit. It was you. Look, you have everything you need. Carson Wentz lost his starting job. Colts have everything. You're not going to make the playoffs? No, that can't be, right? Those guys are facing pressure. Tua Tagovailoa was supposed to be a superstar in the NFL one day. He could be seen as a backup after this year, playing for a competitive team. But Dak Prescott? You heard what Adam Schefter said about him? He might not be 100%. Well, Schefter's coming right up. Might not be 100% all year. Well, in that case, think of the excuses for Dak. If the Cowboys don't win, first of all, he's a good quarterback. And he has an offensive line returning to, you know, hopefully healthy. Looks that way. They're going to be better than average at the least, at the very least, if not elite. He has, other than Tampa, probably the best three wideouts together in the league. Gallup is his third option there. He has a great running back who's lost weight, ready to go behind that line. And if it doesn't work out, think of all the guys in front of Dak, all the reasons now that he has the bag, now that they've paid him, they're going to say first, well, he doesn't have a defense. That's why they're losing. Look at the offense. It's working. Or if the offense isn't working, well, Mike McCarthy, he said he understood the modern game. No, apparently he doesn't. Or the offensive line, we thought they were coming back healthy, but they weren't what they were. Or Ezekiel Elliott, he's not producing like the Ezekiel Elliott that was producing, you know, before he got the contract. Or Dak isn't 100%. Remember when Adam Schefter said that in the preseason? Doesn't expect him to be 100% all year. It seems to me that you can pick any one of those excuses and that'd alleviate the pressure from Dak this season. But with those excuses, I just named 4 or 5. It looks to me like Dak has cover throughout most of this contract. Because once you invest in a guy who you believe can be a star, I mean, unless he really, really wets the bed, as they say. Once you get a guy, like, there are excuses built in for the next couple of years for Dak. Adam Schefter, ESPN's senior NFL insider. Schefty, I was taken aback by your comment. Dak won't be 100% all season, possibly? Tell me about it.
Max, the most overplayed and overdone comments that are out there. I can't even believe that it became an issue. We're talking at halftime. okay? And I brought up the fact that they're ramping up Dak next week. It's all systems go for the opener. He's playing. He's not missing any time. He may not be 100% for the year. Can we just say anything on TV without it?
No.
Other people turning it into a report?
No, it's grist for the mill.
What are we talking about?
It immediately becomes grist for the mill. But, Adam, especially you, because people assume when you say something, like if they hear me say something, I'm speculating. I'm opining. When people hear you say something, they go, wait, this guy's talking to everyone all the time. So it's weighty.
Max, he's coming off a major ankle injury. He hasn't thrown much in camp. He's looked good. He's playing. He's not missing time. What player is 100% during the course of a season?
Hmm. Like, okay, so let me ask you this.
We're just talking. Yeah, we're just talking. And all of a sudden, it turns into a report. And by the way, not to be particular or anything, but did you see me file a report on Twitter? Dak Prescott may not be 100% this year. Okay. Yeah. Like, when I'm reporting something, I tweet it on my Twitter. I put it on Instagram. I put it on Facebook. I follow it to ESPN. It runs in the – there was never a report.
So let me
we're
ask
– talking Dak.
So,
it's educated speculation.
So
that's all it is.
So let's talk about that. Let's say it's just reasonable to assume, given a catastrophic injury to a lower extremity, right, that and, you know, it puts more pressure on the shoulder. You have to make up, you know, Joe Theismann was on the show last week saying, hey, you got to make up that lost velocity or power somewhere, and it can stress other parts of the body. So it's common sense what you're saying. Doesn't that build in excuses for Dak in the sense that he just got the money? Fans are inclined to side with him over the head coach, say. He's a very good player. It seems to me, if anything, this buys Dak and Cowboys fans some runway here, no?
I don't even look at it like that. Like, to me, Dak is going out to play the best he can, whatever that is. And if he's not 100%, he's going to be out there. He's going to be playing. He's very talented. He's going to be effective. He'll be close to Dak if he's not Dak. I don't know exactly where it's going to come in on the spectrum. I don't know yet. Again, you know, I don't know if Dak knows yet. Has he gone out there and had defenders at his feet and his ankles yet to know what he's going to feel like psychologically? Has he gone into a game and thrown in game conditions with defenders draped? No. Again, I don't think it's any kind of built-in excuse. The guy's coming back from a significant ankle injury. He's had some arm/shoulder/lat questions this summer. He's going to play. They're ramping him back. I never said he had a setback. I never said he wasn't playing. I just said common sense, logically, he may not be 100% all year.
On the Goodyear Hotline, Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider. Adam is a part of Monday Night Countdown at 7 p.m. Eastern leading into Jag Saints. Tonight, what can Jameis do? Like, can he lock up? Is it even possible for him to lock up the starting gig tonight?
Well, I think that he's got a path to doing that. So I guess, I mean, technically, he could take a major step towards securing that job. How about that? I don't want to say anything that turns into another report, Max.
Right. Well,
you know,
listen.
So
yeah.
Got to be very careful about what I say
here. Yeah.
But yeah, he could take a major step towards becoming the starter of the New Orleans Saints. And again, he's played well this summer. They're pleased with him. I think he's got a real chance to be the starter. And let's see what he does tonight against Jacksonville at home. And if he plays well, certainly it's going to enhance his chances.
Look, I empathize, Adam, with what you're saying. Like, I don't want it to become a report. I made a comment on, I do something called Max on MMA on YouTube, right?
Yep.
For ESPN. And I made a comment about Makhachev, who's a really good wrestler in the UFC. Like, his base is wrestling. And he's like Nurmagomedov training partner and really good. And I said he reminds me in certain ways to Kobe Bryant or Floyd Mayweather. I'm thinking of guys who whose minds work very quickly and always seem to have a counter to the counter, right? I'm not saying
right.
He's Floyd Mayweather or Kobe Bryant. I'm just comparing him in this respect to them. And it made headlines like,
right.
Kellerman said, no, I'm like, you can't say anything without it becoming an issue. But
hey,
thank
Max,
God, because that's how I make a living. Yeah, go ahead.
And by the way, like I said it Friday night, I said it in the pregame show, I said it in halftime, okay? And at halftime, much more condensed version. Like in the pregame show, hey, Dak, they're ramping it back up. It's all systems go. He's playing September 9th. And then on halftime, I said what I said, which was that they're ramping him back up, but he may not be 100% this year. We'll see.
Right.
Like that. It was like that. No, nobody said anything. Friday night passes, Saturday morning passes. All of a sudden, it gets turned into a comment in social media. Another person picks up on social media. Another person. Now it's gone viral. Okay. Why did it not go viral when I said it? Because nobody made an issue of it initially. Then as soon as someone does, it gets picked up. It starts turning into something it's not. Now I'm getting calls from Dallas all afternoon, speaking to various people in and out of the Cowboys organization, explaining to them, no, there's nothing in particular that I'm referring to. You know, it's not like some coach there said to me, boy, we're really worried about Dak here. I was just speaking, again, in the conversation, a very intuitive, medically speaking. By the way, doctors have said the same thing. Tim Hasselbeck said the same thing. It's not some groundbreaking report. The guy's going to play. He's not
by the way, Adam, like, I hear what you're saying. I want to get on to Cam. But another observation about the way we can, like, kind of make stories from the ether, right, is I remember watching it was the Academy Awards, I don't know, maybe going back 10 years or more even, and there was something on, like, E! Or one of these places, and it was a show about the media's reaction to the Academy Awards. And I thought, wow, look at this. What are the Academy Awards? It's really an award that a form of media gives to itself. And then the media reacts to the form to this award show that the media gives itself. And then we create a show gauging the media's reaction to an award that the media gives it. Like, it's unbelievable. It's all out of nothing. We create all this content. What is the latest with Cam Newton?
Well, you have to stay away from the Patriots facility for 5 days, which on the surface is really not a big deal. But what's interesting about it to me, again, due to the protocols that did or didn't take place and the testing that did and didn't get done and where it did and didn't happen, all that's really secondary. The bigger issue is no practice this week for Cam. More reps for Mac Jones. So Mac Jones gets a chance to continue to try to impress the organization, to try to make his move on that job with Cam being away. And how many times have we seen in sports a guy miss a game, somebody else is called upon, and all of a sudden that guy seizes the opportunity. So all this is an opportunity in my mind this week for Mac Jones for added enhanced reps, another chance to impress them, and another chance to take a step towards the starting job. We'll see how that works out for him.
Adam, what is your understanding as to, like, if you've been twice vaccinated, would the protocol be the same? In other words, if there was a misunderstanding and you went somewhere, would you be not have to go through the protocol?
No, there's different testing depending on whether you're vaccinated or not right now. But there also are ongoing discussions. Like, there are discussions tonight going on between the NFL and the NFLPA about whether or not there should be daily testing for everybody again. Mm. I don't know whether they'll go to that, but they're constantly discussing this and figuring out what the best way to proceed during a pandemic where the variant has reentered society and the variant right now is making its mark. So these conversations are ongoing, but the rules as they were at one point were, yes, if you are vaccinated, you do not have to be subjected to the same frequency of testing as those who are unvaccinated.
Yeah, I just wonder, is this because, like, is Cam not vaccinated or is he vaccinated? And if so, is that why now he has to be held out, right? I know people like to talk about this is a personal decision. I actually think it should be a very public decision given, I understand HIPAA rights, but given the fact that the whole point is to contain the spread. But at any rate, it's unfortunate timing for Cam, Adam, because he played so well. You know, it looked like, oh, my God, people, y'all, like the old Roy Jones song, y'all must have forgot. Cam looked really good last time out.
Well, it's an entirely different set of circumstances for Cam, right? He got to participate with the team in the offseason program. The team dramatically upgraded its offensive talent. He's more experienced in the system, another year in. I mean, there's a lot of advantages. He's healthier. There are a lot of advantages that Cam has now that he didn't have 1 year ago. So it would only stand to figure that he would be better and he would look better. And that's how it's been through training camp. But Mac Jones also has looked good. And now we see Now we get to see what Mac Jones is going to do going forward.
Thank you, Adam. As always, Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider. He can't sneeze without it becoming a story. Part of Monday Night Countdown, that's tonight. Adam Schefter, 7 p.m. Eastern, leading into Jags and Saints. Thanks, Adam. You could hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Coming up on No Doubt, did Kanye go too far in his beef with Drake? Do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you could easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even if you're just looking to trade in. RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO to get $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash, no doubt. Next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Wait till you hear who the Raiders reportedly tried to trade for. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, what do we got today, Raj?
Hey, Max, man. Aaron Rodgers should indeed take the Jeopardy job if offered.
Nah, son. He's got too much football left in him. He's too good. He just had maybe his best season. You know how I say, like, Tom Brady's the GOAT, but Mahomes is the best I've ever seen? What if Aaron Rodgers wins two more Super Bowls and improves on last season before he's done? Maybe then I have to switch and go, actually, Rodgers edged back ahead of Mahomes is the best I've ever seen. And he winds up with three Super Bowls and never got to play for Bill Belichick and was frequently, you know, was infrequently on the best team in the league. All of a sudden, maybe he's in both conversations, right? Rodgers has too much football ahead of him, I think.
All right. Hey, man, you know, we like rap beefs. Kanye went too far in his beef with Drake by posting his address?
No doubt. And hip-hop beefs, that they invented going too far. People wind up getting – hip-hop beefs is like, you know, like, guys wind up, like, not here anymore. What, behind a beef in the music industry? You got to be kidding me. But, like, even doxing someone or whatever you want to call it, and I know Kanye, like, deleted it, but you don't put out someone's address. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah, hip-hoppers taking it too far.
Taking it too far, hip-hoppers. Hey, check it out. LeBron should indeed be motivated after receiving no votes as the best player survey.
No doubt. You know why? Because it had had it been unanimous. It's Kevin Durant. I get it. Even if it had been unanimous for someone else, I get it. LeBron's like, okay, they just think it's all this dude now. But the fact that the vote was split, like it's not like one guy got all the votes. Giannis got votes. And I think someone else got some votes too. I don't remember already. This is a week old, but... if LeBron's sitting there go, wait a minute, before AD got hurt, before I got hurt, a lot of people were saying I was supposed to be the MVP. How do I go from that to not a single vote as best player in the world? I get that. I get using it as motivation. There is a growing consensus, however, that the best player in the world is Kevin Durant, and it may not be wrong. My thing is this. Right now, the title is not undisputed. LeBron held the undisputed crown for years and years and years and years. And right now, there are three legitimate candidates. You can say it's LeBron James. You can say it's Kevin Durant. You can say it's Giannis. Giannis is not the same kind of player exactly as them, but his team just won the championship. He had one of the greatest finals performances in the history of sports. Those three guys can all stake claims. Now, what does the eyeball test say? LeBron and KD are both a little better than Giannis. Those are the guys you'd like to have a little more. But Giannis got a real claim, too, after what he just did.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Max, man, Connor and I were just talking about this during the break, but all weekend I've been watching people doing this crate challenge. I don't know if you've seen it, people climbing up these crates. Hey, Max, you give it a try? What do you say, Max on the crate challenge?
Nah, son. Let me change that. Hell nah, son. Crate challenge. Snoop on his Instagram. Snoop, whoever, like Snoop's Instagram is the best thing going.
Great Instagram follow.
He showed a picture of a crate. I want to say this was on Snoop's Instagram. It said, like, you know, has been the undoing, I'll put it that way, of more people in the hood than COVID. Right? Like, he's like this is like all you see now is videos of people busting their, you know what's trying to do this crate challenge. What's he doing? What are people doing? I don't get, what is the appeal of the crate challenge?
Man, you know Instagram today, and the internet is just a new challenge every other week. But I don't know. I think there's a thrill of being up there. I would try it. I don't know if I'd go for 7 crates, but I'd go for about 5 or 6.
You're going to do a crate challenge.
You never get it. Once you know how to fall.
I have a better idea.
Yeah,
why don't you sit back and watch someone else do the crate challenge and be entertained? You got to do a crate challenge? What are you compensating for in your life that you got to do a crate challenge? just watch it.
You know me, Max. I never turned down the good thrill. That's all. Nah, I wouldn't experience it.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Patrick in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I just wanted to comment on Shefty's segment there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there are guys, who, as you pointed out, that are opine, and there are guys that we look to as analysts. Jay Billis, he's that guy for College Hoops. Even you for MMA. So I thought it was annoyingly naive and condescending to be surprised that people would react to his words. We're a headline society. You see the headline and we react.
Okay, I'm going to respond to that after the commercial break. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. By the way, and coming up, not only will I respond to the caller saying Shefty was being naive by thinking the stuff he said wouldn't cause waves, but at 44 years old, hear what Tom Brady thinks is possible for this upcoming season. Brought to you by Capital One Auto Navigator, where you can find a car, get pre-qualified instantly, and get your real monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
First, I want to respond to the caller who brought up Adam Schefter, who objected to the characterization that I made, that he said, you know, because it turned into a story, right? That Adam Schefter said Dak probably won't be 100% all year. And Shefty was like, no, I said, like, this is common sense. I wasn't reporting it. I didn't tweet about it. It was like just a comment I made. Hey, from that kind of injury, it's reasonable to expect. And this caller said that Shefty was being naive by thinking that if he said that, his words wouldn't carry a certain amount of weight. I would say that may be the case, that in fact, if someone like Adam Schefter says something like that, he can expect it to become a story. I don't think that just because we live in a clickbait world, Adam Schefter should not speak English, like speak plainly what he's thinking. He has to speak in code constantly and censor himself constantly just because people will take it out of context and run with it. No, I don't think that's a good way to be. I you know, just like I brought up to him, when I saw Makhachev in the UFC, wrestler who trained with Nurmagomedov and was undefeated in the UFC, and he looked really good to me. And I said, he reminds me in this way of Kobe and of Floyd Mayweather, like the kinds of guys who think quickly and have a counter to every move you make. But I also said he reminds me of like a Go player. Go is a strategy game, like a more elegant version of, I don't know, like it's harder strategically than chess. It's like that the game Othello, the board game, is based on Go, basically. And I was trying to think of parallels, that analogies to help explain what I saw in this fighter. And it became a story. Like, I said he's Kobe Bryant or Floyd Mayweather. No, I didn't say that. I was just making a comparison. If someone wants to take that out of context or frame it in a way for a headline to get clicks, there's nothing I can do about that. And it's not going to change the way I talk about fighters either. So I don't think Shefty's being naive. I think he's just like, wait a minute. This is what I said. This is what happened. Let me now clear up what I meant. And I don't think fans want people who make commentary, whether that be opining or whether that be reporting, to be so circumspect in terms of their language that they have to think that they can't just speak naturally sometimes. I don't think that serves anybody's interest. By the way, you see the Raiders report? Apparently the Raiders
have contacted the Bears about trading for Khalil Mack. Well, gives you two firsts and a... I mean, look, I'll say this about Gruden. Yeah, what's up? What's up, Raj? Raj.
You know what would be great, man? You know what would be great is if we had a pass rusher like Khalil Mack. Wouldn't that be great?
That would really put us over the top. We need to, listen, we have to contend with that Patrick Mahomes twice a year every year. We need a pass rush. Look,
make some calls, Mayock.
I would say this. Gruden, the kind of his hot seat is a little overstated. He took over a bad team, and every year they've gotten better. Now, have others made teams better faster than Gruden? Absolutely. But if you have a 10-year deal, you think, okay, I have some leeway here. I have a lot of rope here. Let me do it my way, even if it takes a little longer. It is too early to say that Gruden has failed. If this year they regress, he should be on the hot seat next year. But if they even tick up a little bit, they were 8-8, you know, 4-12, and then 6-10, and then 8-8. Even if it's just 9-8 and in a 17-game schedule, if they're in a division with the freaking Kansas City Chiefs and now Justin Herbert with the Chargers, who should be much improved, it's hard. And they don't have a great quarterback; they have a good quarterback. And if you add Khalil Mack, Raj, if you're trading a second and a third or something, and you got two firsts and stuff for him, then that's actually not a bad idea. At 44 years old, is it possible that this could be Tom Brady's best season ever? He told Peter King of NBC Sports, quote, "It's a totally imperfect game that you're trying to do as perfectly as possible. Every day I come out trying to do it, I'm hoping this is my best year. That's a prediction, and I'm not for that. I'm into doing the work. Is the process going to be right? I'm going to work my expletive off to get it right." Is it impossible that this would be Brady's best year? It's not impossible. He is with a coach who clearly has his back in Arians. He has the best receiving tandem or receiving core he's ever had. It's not only the best in the NFL, at least the top three are, and then you include the tight ends. Oh, my God. But arguably, it's the three best, the most talent at three wide receiving positions of all time. Like, Antonio Brown's one of the best who ever did it. Are we sure he's not as good as he ever was? We haven't seen him in a full season yet since his prime. How do we know he's not still in his prime? Maybe he is. Mike Evans is an elite guy. Godwin might be better than him. And then you're talking about like O.J. Howard. Boy, he doesn't look like a pass catcher. Well, his reputation out of college was remember he was a generational tight end prospect, but as an overall tight end, what do you think, he can't catch? No, O.J. Howard is being a little bit slept on, I suspect, right now. Not to mention they got Gronk. like everybody. It's ridiculous. They return all 22 starters, playoff Leonard Fournette. They got a real good offensive line that, if anything, should be better. They got continuity. They have a defense. They have the best linebacking tandem in the league. Look, the one thing is, it's hard to imagine Brady outperforming himself from 2006-07 when they lost the Super Bowl to the New York Football Giants. Big Blue! But they were 17-0 that year in the regular season. They got to 19-0. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they got to 19-0, and he and Randy Moss shattered every offensive record. Do I think Brady will be better than that? Unlikely. But is it possible that he could be somewhere in that neighborhood, given his weapons, the continuity, and he could win the Super Bowl, which he didn't do that year? It's possible. It's possible. I can't discount it. I would also say, after spending so long talking about the cliff, the fact is, he will eventually get old. I thought Father Time was undefeated at one point, and then I thought I was watching Bernard Hopkins fight him to a draw. He was 50 still beating guys, like good fighters. I was like, oh my God, he's fighting Father Time to a draw. Father Time got Bernard too. Joe Smith knocked him out of the ring. Father Time is undefeated. Right now, it looks like Brady's fighting him off, but by the end of this year, it could be. Like, he's going to get old eventually. Maybe it'll be this year, but maybe he'll have the best season of his career, all things considered. Think about that. He's 44. V from Vegas, you got 30 seconds.
Yo, I grew up watching Max boxing, man, so I got to speak boxing with you, bro. With all these new up-and-comers coming, the future of boxing looks beautiful. But my question was, One, do you think Inouye can do what Pacquiao did for Philippines and put Japan on the map the way that he did? And two, think Boots Ennis versus Ergrace will create a Boots Ennis versus Crawford, because Crawford, he's the best in the division, man.
I couldn't hear everything you said. I've wanted Boots on Max on Boxing for a while now. He kind of ghosted me a little bit. Like, he said he was going to come on, and then I haven't been able to get in touch with him. And Boots is a hell of a prospect. And the welterweight division is that whole weight neighborhood is a hell of a weight neighborhood. The promoters and networks now have to work together to get boxing to the next level. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanahan Golic Jr. coming up. I'll see you tomorrow. Perf.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.